Good morning and welcome to chapel today. This morning, before we begin our service, we have an announcement from Laura Harstead, one of our Bethany graduates, and she's here today representing Wells Kingdom Workers.
Hi, my name is Laura Harstead, and I'm a volunteer coordinator for Wells Kingdom Workers. Kingdom Workers is an organization that works together with mission churches and established congregations to create opportunities for both ELS and Wells members of all ages to go on mission trips in the U.S. and internationally. A little bit about myself, I am a 2000 grad from Bethany Lutheran College. I actually was married in the chapel here. I then went on and became a vocal music teacher. After 5 years of teaching in Minnesota, my husband and I volunteered through Kingdom Workers and served in China for a year. We taught English and shared God's word with the people that we met. I have also lived and taught in Vietnam and the exotic location of Nebraska. Some of you may know my brother, Joel Faugsted. Joel, can you wave to everybody? He's a freshman here at Bethany, and he will be volunteering with Kingdom Workers. He'll be going to San Diego, California this summer and helping with a vacation Bible school there, so feel free to talk to him about that as well. There are many, many different opportunities for people of all ages to volunteer with Kingdom Workers. We really need people this summer to help with vacation Bible school, canvassing, music camps, and sports camps all over the United States. And we are also looking for volunteers to help with summer camps and teaching English in Mexico, as well as vacation Bible school in Malawi. So if any of those interest you, I will be here. I have a display set up near the cafeteria. I'll be here through lunch. The information that I have, here's a listing of all of the opportunities that we have currently. This information shares what we've done in the past, current projects that Kingdom Workers is working on. And I'd be happy to talk to you more about that or just chat about China. I love talking about China, too. In closing, really, there are so many people in this world who have not heard the saving message of God's word. And each of us has been given gifts that help us to share God's word in a very unique way. And I want you to think today, how can you share the message of the gospel? Thank you.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. We read verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. More than 50 years ago, there was a professor on this campus who taught in the seminary by the name of Dr. Norman Madsen, and he was known for having a great love for music and for hymns. And one day in seminary class, as he was lecturing, my father happened to be a student at the time, he made the bold statement that every one of my confirmation students that I ever had when I was serving in the parish had to learn 50 hymns. And some of the seminary students looked at each other as like, 50 hymns, come on, I don't believe that. Well, that evening my father was on campus here and found one of Dean Madsen's previous confirmands, who was a college student here at the time, ran into him and he said, "Hey, this morning in class Dean Madsen claimed that all of his confirmation students had to learn 50 hymns, is that right?" And he said, "No, maybe a dozen we had to learn." So the next day, my dad was going to get up and challenge Dean Madsen in class and let him know that he was way off. Well, at breakfast that morning, that same student came running up to him and he said, "Hey, Molstead, I went through the hymn book last night. I know 52 hymns." Dean Madsen often saw the value in hymns. Many of his homilies from our chapel services here on campus were published, and if you look at those, many of them quote hymns, and quite frequently he would end his chapel addresses with hymn verses as well. Music provides us with a completely, if you will, almost different way of grasping the precious truths of God's Word and Scripture. And it kind of provides us also with a different way of latching on to the comfort that we find there. We notice that same phenomena that takes place in secular music too. Probably there are different songs that when you hear them, it instantly takes you back to a certain time in grade school or high school or somebody you dated or a particular place where you used to live or some great event. There's something about music that attaches itself to the memory in a completely different way than other things. And so it's even more so that way when it comes to our spiritual lives. I remember as a child when we would have family devotions, every once in a while my mom would start crying as we're singing a hymn. She hadn't cried during the devotion, she hadn't cried during the scripture reading or during dinner that night, but the hymn, it got to her in a different way. It touched something different in her. Music has a way of attaching itself to our emotion, which is also a very important component in our spiritual lives as well. Every time that I sing the hymn in our hymn book, which is number 175, the children's hymn, "God Loves Me Dearly," I think about Fritos, because that was the first time I ever had Fritos at Vacation Bible School. But more importantly, I remember the joy as a four-year-old of being in VBS for the first time and learning about Jesus and getting to go to a school to learn about Jesus. And that hymn, as much as it's written for a little child, if you look at it, it contains the whole plan of salvation. God loves me dearly, grants me salvation. I was in bondage, sin, death, and darkness. God's love was working to set me free. Therefore, I say again, God loves me dearly. And so, music has a way of attaching these precious truths to something that is then embedded in our hearts and consciences. It shouldn't surprise us then to see in our text how our Lord Jesus utilizes a hymn at the conclusion of the celebration of the Lord's Supper, that first night that he institutes that sacred feast for his church. And then he concludes that with a hymn. Here he has taken the leftovers from the Passover meal, that great sacred Jewish feast, and now demonstrates how he himself was the very Lamb of God, the one who had come to fulfill what this meal was pointing to, and that by his blood painted over the door of our hearts, God will someday pass over us in our sins, protected by him by faith, and we will have life in heaven. That very night when Jesus took those elements and blessed them and gave them to his church, thinking about us, thinking about you, just hours before he would go and die an agonizing death on the cross. "This is my body," he says, "of the bread. This is my blood," of the wine, "given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." And following that great event, we have this little line in our text that the Holy Spirit made sure to include for us to know. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. It was probably one of the great Psalms. Psalms 115 through 118, known as the Hallel Psalms, were often used in the Passover celebration. These were hymns that the Jewish people of their day had memorized and used every year in that celebration. It is not man's invention to marry music with theology. It is not man's doing an idea that came up with this. God, the Holy Spirit himself, has done that for us. The entire book of Psalms is a beautiful example of that, our Lord's hymn book. And the church has utilized this precious gift from God through the centuries to teach the faith and impress the faith, even in a slightly different way than just memory, into the hearts and minds of young people and adults as well. What a gift it must be that the Son of God himself would utilize it the night before he goes to the cross. That same Dean Norman Madsen, who taught in the seminary, having been a parish pastor and taught so many hymns to the young confirmands that he had beneath him, claimed that he frequently got letters back from soldiers in World War II thanking him for having had to memorize those hymns because of the great comfort that they gave as the bullets were flying and the bombs were going off. We live in a day and age when music is often about entertainment, and sad to say, the church sometimes has embraced that attitude too. But you know, it only takes a spark to keep a fire going isn't going to help you a whole lot and give you a lot of comfort on your deathbed. "I know that my Redeemer lives," that is going to give you comfort. "Jesus Christ, my sure defense, and my Savior ever liveth." Those are deathbed hymns. Those are the hymns we want people singing to us to impress the precious truths of Scripture and the wonderful gospel and the hope that we have in Christ. And that's why the church has striven through the years to make sure to use music, not just to entertain us and make us feel free and fun for a while, but to embed the gospel in our hearts and our lives. And may God grant all of us the faith to look forward to the day when we sing together in the angelic choir in the mansions above. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. I pray thee, dear Lord Jesus, my heart to keep and train, that I, thy holy temple, from youth to age remain. Turn thou my thoughts forever from worldly wisdom's lore. If I but learn to know thee, I shall not want for more. Amen.